again, and welcome to another episode of the Rose Quinn Podcast. This is the first episode I've done in a while without a guest, so it's all me. Are you guys ready? Are you ready for just my voice this whole time? I have been thinking a lot about all the questions I ask authors. If you listen to all the episodes, you kind of know a little bit about my writing style or, you know, my story as an aspiring author, because I chime in, you know, as the authors that I interview are talking, but I've never actually answered all these questions myself. So that was what I'm going to do today. First, I'm going to share some of my favorite books with you that I've read recently, and then go through the questions, and this will be like a Meet Rose 2019 edition, because my very first episode of the Rose Quinn Podcast is titled Meet Rose, and I've listened to it a couple of times, and it's crazy how different my life was back at the end of 2017 to where it is now. Things were very different, but we'll get into that. So before we meet Rose in 2019, let's talk about a couple of my favorite books. I don't even remember how I found this series. I was trying to think about it, but it is the To Catch a Killer series. It's a YA series that has two books in it so far, and it's about a young teenage girl who's had some crime and bad things happen in her lives. Her mother was murdered, and she doesn't know who her father is, and so she's been raised by her mother's best friend. And then she is in high school, and her biology teacher gets murdered, and it kind of leads her down this path of being a little bit of a DNA detective. And what I loved about this story and about this novel was the really successful way the author put in a bunch of like science stuff and made it interesting. And made me, somebody who, I have always loved science, I think science is really interesting, but I was never the kind of person who was like super interested in it. And as I love crime fiction, so I have a little bit more interest in like the DNA and blood spatter because of Dexter, you know, those sorts of things. And I just think that Cheryl Scarborough, who is the author of To Catch a Killer, did a really wonderful job blending all of that in to her story. So let me go ahead and read the blurb for you. Erin Blake has one of those names, a name that, like Natalie Holloway or Elizabeth Smart, is inextricably linked to a grisly crime. As a toddler, Erin survived for 3 days alongside the corpse of her murdered mother, and the case, which remains unsolved, fascinated a nation. Her father's identity unknown, Erin was taken in by her mother's best friend and has become a relatively normal teen in spite of the looming questions about her past. 14 years later, Erin is once again at the center of a brutal homicide when she finds the body of her biology teacher. When questioned by the police, Erin tells almost the whole truth, but never voices her suspicions that her mother's killer has struck again in order to protect the casework she's secretly been doing on her own. Inspired by her uncle, an FBI agent, Erin has ramped up her forensic hobby into a full-blown cold case investigation. This new murder makes her certain she's close to the truth, but when all the evidence starts to point the authorities straight to Erin, she turns to her longtime crush and fellow suspect, Journey Michaels, to help her crack the case before it's too late. It's wonderful, let me just tell you. I think it's got a really good blend. There's, of course, a romance in it, because we need a little bit of that to balance it out. But Cheryl does a great job of creating a character who you just are really behind, and then a character who's smart and, you know, has this drive to figure out what happened, and the mystery unfolds in a really awesome way, and I think that you would really enjoy it. So it's called To Catch a Killer, and the publisher right now is doing a promotion, so you can get To Catch a Killer for $2.99, which, I mean, that's less than a, like, fancy drink at Starbucks or something. So go buy To Catch a Killer, and $2.99 on Kindle. So if you buy To Catch a Killer for $2.99, the ebook, Cheryl, The author is sweetening the deal. She, if you DM her on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, your proof of purchase and your address, she'll send you the second book. Because I told you there's two books in this series, which is To Right the Wrong. She'll send you that book for free. So they're not doing a promotion on the second book, but just the first one. But Cheryl has got some of the second book in her possession that she will send to you if you prove that you bought the first one. So this deal is only for the month of July, so I would make sure to get on it. All right, the next book I want to talk about is Heartwood Box by Anne Aguirre. I think that's how you say her name. You know me. I'm not good at that. But this book I got an ARC of, and it is currently out now, and it blew my mind a little bit. It's a little bit sci-fi, it's got the mystery, and it's got a really cool romance storyline in it, and I was not prepared for it all. I read this book really fast, and I love I just loved everything about it. So let me go ahead and just read the blurb, and then we can talk about it. In this tiny, terrifying town, the lost are never found. When Araceli Flores Harper is sent to live with her great aunt Ottilie in her ramshackle Victorian home, the plan is simple. She'll buckle down and get ready for college. Life won't be exciting, but she'll cope, right? Wrong. From the start, things are very, very wrong. Her great aunt still leaves food for the husband who went missing 20 years ago, and the local businesses are plastered with missing posters. There are unexplained lights in the woods and a mysterious lab just beyond the city limits that the locals don't talk about ever. When she starts receiving mysterious letters that seem to be coming from the past, she suspects someone of pranking her or trying to drive her out of her mind. To solve these riddles and bring the lost home again, Araceli must I don't know if I'm saying that right, so I apologize to Anne if I'm saying that wrong. She must delve into a truly diabolical conspiracy, but some secrets fight to stay buried. I will say that it's a different comparison because it's not as like hardcore horror or sci-fi as Stranger Things is, but it has a little bit of a Stranger Things vibe. Ramshackle group of kids go to this, you know, big lab and try and stop them from what they're doing, basically. And there's a really awesome love storyline, which I haven't really fallen in love with a romance storyline in a while, but this one was pretty great, really well done. So if you want a little bit of sci-fi, some good mystery, and a little bit of Stranger Things, I would say that's how I kind of relate it in my brain, then I would definitely go ahead and get Heartwood Box by Anne Aguirre. It is out now. So now we're going to do Meet Rose in 2019. If you've listened through the whole podcast, or if you haven't, I'll give you an kind of comparison. I started this podcast late 2017, something I had wanted to do for a while. I was trying to start it for a while, but I think the first episode I recorded in my cousin's guest bedroom, which I was staying at in Salt Lake City, Utah. I just moved there. At early 2017, I had some big life changes going on and found myself with a lot more freedom and single and trying to figure things out for myself. And so, I moved to Utah, which I've always loved Utah. I lived there when I was younger and it still is one of my favorite places. But it was short-lived just for some career things. I ended up being a flight attendant for a quick, hot second. But I was in a weird place, a dark place. I was really struggling with my mental health. If you listen to that episode, I'm like, you can tell I'm, you know, got a lot of things weighing on my mind, you know? So where I'm at now in July of 2019, I am married and a instant bonus mom to two wonderful kids. I am lucky enough to be real close to home, really close to family, have a lot of support, and I just recently finished working on a novel that I had been working on for a long time. I was actually organizing my house today. My kitchen was a disaster, and then I got the organizing bug, and so I have a bunch of I'm a writer and I like to print things out and I like to look at them on paper and edit them on paper, right? I think there's some people who are like that. And I found all my manuscripts of everything I've written. So when I first started writing in high school, I don't know if my screenplay was something I wrote first, but I toyed, you know, with writing novels, and, you know, I really struggled with the middle. So I would get like the first act done and then really struggle in the middle and not usually get past that point. But I had this dream of being a famous screenwriter and winning Oscars, if that's the right award that you win for that. And so I have a few screenplays that I found, which was cool. One of them is this really cool, like, magic fantasy one that I think is an interesting story still, but was real cheesy when I wrote it when I was 15 years old. And it was cool just to lay out all my finished products and see them all together. That's the Instagram post that I posted. I think that's a cool inventory for all authors to do. Like, I saw Sarah Dessen, who was one of my all-time favorite authors ever when I was a teenager. I read everything she ever wrote. She just made me feel like, you know, I was seen as a teenager in many different ways, which I think is what a lot of authors, you know, want and aspire to do. But she had all her manuscripts laid out, and I think they were just her published novels, and there was 14 of them, which, oh my goodness. And she said that she had another 14 that were finished that were never published. So I think it's good. Like, keep it in perspective. I had 7, I think. One of them was just like a little mini book that I'm writing about being an instant mom. But still, it's something, right? So 6 other projects that haven't seen the light of day. You know, a couple of them have been beta read and I've shared with people, but not published. But that doesn't mean I'm not an author, that I'm not a writer. I just am learning to be more patient, because that is something that I struggle with. The first question that I always ask authors is, tell us about your... it sometimes is different. It depends on if they have something published or if they are unpublished. So if they have something published, I'll ask them about their book that's coming out. But if they don't, just want to know about them and what they're working on. I'm currently toying between what I'm working on. I've started this like slasher horror novel that I really love, but kind of need to sit down and outline a little bit more and see where I want it to go. And then I usually talk with my authors about how they got to where they are and querying and all that process. So I just finished that book that I've been working on for about 2 years. It's titled When Jay Bird Went Missing. And it is about, here, let me pull up my query so I don't do my elevator pitch wrong. So it is about a small beach town, which, if you know me, I love the beach. It's one of my favorite places. A lot of my stories actually take place at the beach just because I love little beach towns. And I kind of like that when authors do it. Like, Sarah Dessen would always kind of have her stories be in the same town. And, you know, like, different characters would come into different stories. That was always my favorite thing about hers. But there have been a lot of girls that have gone missing in St. Henderson. And there's never been any evidence, no witnesses, no bodies have been found. And this little beach town is pretty much gone on as normal because there's not a whole lot they can do. So our main character is Zelda. Her sister is one of the missing girls, Jaybird. And the spring break of Zelda's senior year in high school, a teenage girl is found murdered on the beach. Her story is exactly the same. Nobody knows anything. But tucked in her hand is a piece of evidence, the first piece of evidence, and it is the necklace that once belonged to Zelda's sister, Jaybird. And so for the first time, Zelda feels like there could be a chance at knowing what happened to her sister. And that feeling continues to grow when a little yellow padded, you know, those bubble mailers envelope is delivered to her. Inside is a note from somebody who claims to have been the one to kill her sister, and he has proof. He'll tell her what happened, but first Zelda needs to do some things that he's asked. And if she doesn't do what he says, another girl will end up dead. And this book went through a lot of revisions. It was an adult novel, then it was like trying to do new adult, which I think that's like a lot of my stories, including my last one, This Dead World. I really wanted the main characters to be like 25. I just felt like that was the right age, but I don't know. That's always a hard one to try and decide what category you're trying to go into. But I really love this story. I love crime. I love mystery. I love that it's a YA with a little bit more horror, a little bit more blood. Because some of my favorite YA books that I've read recently have been a little bit more gory, which I think there's definitely an audience out there for people who love that. That's a big thing right now. So, how am I approaching querying When Jaybird Went Missing? I am not querying hardcore. I've sent out maybe 10 queries in the last couple weeks. I got a partial request from an agent, had some rejections, and I'm trying to be in this just like patient mode. I've sent my manuscript out to a couple beta readers too, so I don't want to like shoot myself in the foot and query like 50 agents right away if there's some major changes, even though I sort of just feel like I need to take a long break from this manuscript because I worked on it for a really long time. So I'm just querying slowly. I've felt like my query letter was strong. I wrote it before I finished my revisions to kind of direct them, which I think was a smart thing to do. But yeah, I'm just trying to take it slow, be patient. I would say my tips for writers who are in the querying process. I actually had somebody DM me on Twitter asking for, you know, like how you find agents, you know, more than just a few in a category. Because I think you could look at like the manuscript wishlist hashtag. You can go to each agency. There's a lot of different ways and things you can do. The best one I found that I really love is Query Tracker. Just a really simple way to gather a bunch of agents and then track like who you've actually queried, because you can do that and track when they've sent you a rejection or whatnot. So I would definitely recommend Query Tracker, but also to be patient, to work on something else, and to query in small batches, because you don't want to send out 50 queries and then realize there's something wrong with your query letter, or go back to it in a couple of days and be like, oh wait, that is not what I want it to say. And then you've already queried 50 people with that query letter, you know? Do it in small batches, keep going back to your query letter, making improvements, because you're always going to see new things with some time in between. So my next question I would normally ask authors is, what is the hardest part of writing for you, and what is the hardest part of being an author? The hardest part of writing, I think, is where I'm at right now. I've always been working on something and had like a really clear idea with This Dead World. I did like a writing prompt and had this great idea just bloom into my head. And When Jaybird Went Missing, I had a really clear idea of what I wanted to happen, and it kind of all flowed through me. But again, I did not have children or a lot of other things going on when I was writing those. So I think it's finding the inspiration and the time and setting up that routine, which is what I really excelled at before and why I drafted them, I think, as successfully as I did. So that's kind of the hardest part for me right now, is that, of course, blank page and trying to figure it all out again. And I think in terms of author, you know, the author side of it, I don't have any published books, but I think it's always nerve-wracking when you send, even just to beta readers or critique partners, you know, it's something you've been working on hard for a long time. It's dear to your heart. It's got a lot of yourself in it. And I think that's always nerve-wracking to release your little book baby to somebody else. And on the flip side, the best part of both of those things, writing for me has always been very therapeutic. It has been my release. I think that's how it started a lot. I think that's how it started when I was in high school. I was really struggling with mental illness. I really struggled with depression and anxiety as a teenager. Still do it at times now, but got a little bit more of a handle on what works best for me to get me out of those out of that mode. But it was just therapeutic to go outside of the world I was in, to get out of my depressed little brain and go into a different world. And I think that's a lot of why I've loved reading and read so much, is the same sort of thing. So that's probably the best part for me. It is very therapeutic for me. It helps me work things out. I think I've written stories that have been very, I've written stories that have had pieces of things I've struggled with in my own life that I can put on paper, that I can let a character figure out and conquer, and then I can kind of work my brain through it. And I think that's really helpful. And, you know, I think in the future, being an author, it'll be like those that feeling I got from Sarah Dessen. Like, that's my goal, is to have that be how I make readers feel in some way, just make them feel seen and related, and maybe just help them escape too, if things are hard, just to have, give them a way to feel better for a little bit. My next question for myself is, what kind of writer? Pantser, planner, somewhere in between? I was a super pantser with This Dead World. Really pantsed it off. Sat down every day, really no clue about the, I had a super rough outline or idea in my head. I don't even think I had things written down, really. And that was, it was fun. It was interesting. It definitely makes the revision process take longer. Definitely. But with, when Jaybird went missing, it's a little bit more, I think it just depends on kind of what you're writing too, because there was a lot of victims in When Jaybird Went Missing, a lot of little details that needed to be remembered and kept straight. And so I had to do a little bit more planning. I would say I was still kind of in between a pantser and a planner with When Jaybird Went Missing. But I think, you know, that style kind of depends on what you're writing and kind of the intricacies. Like, I know people, like, I couldn't imagine writing science fiction or fantasy with a whole different world and magic system and all of this without planning super deeply, because you got to keep all that stuff straight and have it make sense, right? But I'm still learning, I'm still figuring it out which one I like best, because I think there's calls for different ones in different situations. My next question: when did your love of writing start? I think I talked about it a little bit earlier, you know, just as a therapeutic process when I was in high school. I remember, I can't find this file anywhere, which it makes me so angry, because I remember it being really good. It could have just been bad though, but the idea of it is good. But I remember one of, like, the first things I really wrote in high school was a story. I think it was like a dream or something I had, but a girl who comes home late and her house is on fire and she can't get to her parents. She can't get to her little sister. And I wrote the first, I think like the first act of the story. I really struggled after that with the middles and all that stuff, but I wrote the first act, and I remember giving it to my writing teacher, and because I had been talking to him about it, and he gave me some notes and some feedback, but otherwise, like I said, it was good, which I was like, what? I'm good? Like, I can write and have somebody like it? And I think that was the first time I really thought about writing more and writing a whole novel and believing that I could do it. And so thank you to that teacher for helping me, and hopefully someday I'll be able to find that file. I'm sure it's long gone though, but yeah, it was a pretty cool feeling just to have. I think when you're teenagers, I think it sometimes can be hard to believe in yourself with that, or maybe, you know, like, you don't want to show your parents or whatever because they're just going to tell you that it's great. But to have it be a person who was a teacher who, he gave me some good feedback and, like, told me things to change and work on. So it wasn't like he was just being like, oh, yeah, this is perfect. So that was awesome. I think that was probably my first time I really was like, whoa, this could happen. All right. My next question. What does your revision process look like? I think my revision process, I've really tried to focus on the, I like to use the setup, response, attack, resolution method. I usually do like a chapter by chapter summary of what's going on, and have that printed out, and then I like cut it up and put it underneath setup, setup, response, attack, or resolution, just to kind of see how balanced I am, see if things make sense, if I don't have enough background at the beginning, you know, have enough setup before the inciting incident happens or whatnot. That's really helped me. I also like to just go through and line edit. I usually do like the set, the SRAR first, and try and pinpoint major plot holes, or, you know, go through and add in scenes or chapters that I need. Like with When Jaybird Went Missing, this last revision that I did, I actually added a point of view, which I ended up I think it really added a lot to it. So I did that first, and then I went through and I did line edits, which I like go in and I do control find and type in, you know, my overused words and make them capitalized, and then I go through and I get cut them out if I can, and rewrite sentences, and that's really helpful. But sometimes I miss them, so beta readers, if you see some capitalized words, I just missed it. But I try and do a few processes. I think in the past I've really had a hard time knowing when to stop. I think everybody struggles with that, knowing when to just say, okay, this book is fine, this book is good. Don't keep cutting things apart. Because when Jaybird Went Missing, it started off as Zelda had a different name, and she was coming home. She was a nurse. She was like 28. She was coming home because the police found that necklace. She wasn't already home, so they had to call her. She was, you know, it was a very different story. And I like the way it is now. I feel like it's a little bit stronger, some more characters that add some depth to it. But I think it's hard to know once you get into that major revision, cutting people, adding people, changing timelines and all that stuff. It can be hard to be like, okay, whoa, when do I, you know, like stop? So I think once I get to the final point, I do my SRAR, check in, see where I'm at, and then do a read through, do some line edits, and I just got to the point where I was like, okay, feel good about it. I think it's always helpful too, if you can, to do read it out loud. I think you catch a lot of weird sentences and things that don't sound right, because sometimes when you read it just in your head, you know, you're making it sound the way you think it should be, but that's not actually the word on the page. So there you go, guys. That is me in 2019. I am super excited for the rest of this year's podcast episodes. We have some super great people, super great authors, super great agents who I'm excited for you to hear from, and just excited that I get to chat with too, because I feel real lucky that I get to connect with all these people. So the last question I usually ask people is, what's your favorite book? But I already did that one. All right, guys. I appreciate you listening. Please make sure to rate and review this podcast. I know it might not seem like a big deal to you, but it definitely helps me out. Check me out on Instagram and Twitter at Rose Quinney, Quinny. And let me know if you want to hear about something, want to have your book reviewed on the podcast, or anything of the sort. All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you.